How do you activate the blessing of God on your life? You know that there are things that you can do that can hinder what God wants to do, but there are things that you can do that will help what God wants to do. And those of you that are here from the prayer ministry that meets every day at 10 o'clock, which the office will be closed tomorrow, by the way, so just know we won't be here tomorrow for New Year's Day, but or the holiday. But those of you that do meet for prayer know that we pray regularly that if there are things that are hindering our lives, that they would be removed or God would show us what they are so we could deal with them and get rid of them. Because there are things that we can do that hinder what God wants to do and really bring a curse on our lives. You know, there are things that we can do that we choose to do that would activate the curse of the law rather than the blessing of Abraham. And we want to be people that will activate the blessing of Abraham. And I'm convinced, and some of you folks that are here, older senior folks, older folks will know what I'm talking about this. Usually when you see something going on in something in somebody's life or something going on, what you see from the outward appearance is usually not the root issue. Usually there's more involved in it than what you see, than what we see with our eye, even what we hear with our ear. There's usually more things involved with that. One of the great reasons and benefits of coming to church and sitting under a pastor, a teacher, is learning how those secret things and those hidden things can come to light in your life, and then you can learn how not to activate the curse in your life, but activate the blessing of God in your life. Amen? And that's one of the things I'm convinced. I'm convinced the devil is trying to do. He's really worked hard around in this area to get people out of their faith, to get people to say, well, church is not important. We don't need church. You know, we can just kind of meet and have, you know, a social gathering rather than church. But no, you need church. You need a pastor. You need to have a regular time where we assemble together like we did this morning here and receive communion, give your tithes and your offerings. You need that. Everybody needs a pastor. Yes. I have a pastor, Pastor Alan Spiegel. He's over Safe Harbor. You know, he's got about, like I said, 160-something, I think now 160 ministries that he helps and works with. And he, I would consider him my pastor. You know, there needs to be accountability. And if you ever... if some of you older ones will remember Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker falling back in the 80s where they had such scandals and such problems. And when we began the ministry, we started that off reading those two books. Jim Baker's book, I Was Wrong, and his associate's book was called, Richard Dorch, was called Integrity. And one of the things that they all said, every one of them said, was that there was no accountability in their ministries is what caused those failures to happen. So, you know, I need accountability. You all need accountability. We all need, and so we don't want to let Satan rob us of our faith life. Can you say amen? And see, a church is a good place to be held accountable. It's a good place to be charged. It's a good place to be taught. It's a good place to have accountability among ourselves. You know, our hope groups, that's what we're attempting to do with those hope groups. And let me encourage you this year, make an effort to get in one of those groups. Now, I'm not for sure how they'll work, but I know we'll start again in January 15th, and then we may go another 6 months and start some more groups. But see, once you get a group going, it's hard for people to come in like 3 or 4 meetings afterwards, because that group, they made a covenant together that they're not going to talk publicly about what they talk about in private. They're not going to, you know, they're going to pray for each other. So it's important that you get into a hope group and that you can share that and be a part of a covenant group, so to speak. I've heard such good things. I know Diana and Coyle was telling me how blessed they were to be a part of their hope group and different ones. So sign up out there today and get in a hope group, and you'll be blessed the more for that. But there are things in our lives like church, hope groups, prayer, different things that we can do that will activate the blessing. Everybody say, activate the blessing. But there are things that we can do to hinder the blessing. And today I want to talk about what we can do to activate it, what we can do to get the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of God, the blessing of life of the Lord activated in our lives. And hopefully we'll see some things that would hinder that. And we could remove or stop the things that would hinder it and start doing the things that would activate it. Amen? Look what it says here in Galatians chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 10. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now let me say this about that. Now, he's talking about all the things that are in the law, but you know, y'all understand the law is not just the legal side of the law, talking about the Ten Commandments. You know, he's talking about the social laws. You know, you don't marry your sister. He's talking about the health laws of what you eat, what you don't eat. And he's saying here, if you can keep one part of the law, let's say there's Ten Commandments, but you can keep all of those except one. Let's say you have a problem maybe telling lies, or maybe you've got a problem committing adultery. He's saying, if you don't keep the entire law, you are guilty of the curse of the law. In other words, if you're attempting to be justified by keeping the social law, the health laws, the moral laws, the legal laws, if you're attempting to be made righteous by keeping the law, you are under a curse because no man can keep all of the law. That's what he's saying there. See, that's why we have to really guard against. See, I am for the Ten Commandments. I think the Ten Commandments are a great moral standard to live by. But you can never be justified or made righteous by the Ten Commandments. Are you with me? Paul even wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said that those which were ordained unto death, the commandments were ordained unto death. You can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So we want to be careful that we want to support the Ten Commandments, but we don't want to support the Ten Commandments for righteousness' sake. Righteousness came by what Jesus did at Calvary, through the blood of Jesus. Jesus put it this way. He said, "It has been said unto you that you should not kill," one of the commandments. But he says, "I'm saying unto you, if anger is in your heart, you are guilty of that breaking that law." You see what I'm saying? Jesus didn't do away with the law. He elevated the law to the place of the heart, where in Hebrews it says that God shall write His laws upon our hearts. So we need to be careful about recognizing that if we're attempting to be made righteous by the law, we will fall under the curse of the law. We are made righteous through and by the faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Amen. Are you with me in that now? That's where we've got to understand that, because God is not judging based on whether the degree that a person can keep the commandments. He's judging based on the degree of faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus, which will in turn, listen to me now, should produce in us a walk of faith and light and love, that the commandments are just almost second nature to us, that we're going to walk in those commandments because it's coming from the Spirit of life, not from an outside law. Are you with me in that? Amen. Okay, I hope you understand that. Because if you don't understand that, and you're attempting to be made righteous by your ability to keep the law, you're operating under the curse. You know why? Because you can't keep all of the law. You can't be perfect in all of the law, but you can be perfect in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen, somebody. Now notice here, verse 10 again, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them." Now notice verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles." Now I want everybody to say, "Come on." Come on. Say, "Come on me." Come on me. See, we want that blessing to come on us. Now, we're operating in a dual situation here because, listen to me, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, we'll never take away from the new birth, the new creature. But see, we can do things even as being a new creature that when we would die and go to heaven, that would hinder God from blessing and the blessing of God from coming on our lives on the earth. God's will is heaven on earth. Jesus said, Father, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants heaven on earth. He wants us to operate in the blessing to such a degree that it almost looks like we're in heaven already.
Amen.
Amen. So how do we activate that blessing? How do we get that blessing operating in our lives that we're not operating under the curse? We want the blessing to come on us, to abide on us, to stay on us, to work in us, to cause us to have a prosperous life, a blessed life. Listen to me. People, when you go to talking about blessing and prosperity, people think you're talking about that nothing will ever go wrong. That's not what I'm saying. We're never going to be in a place where nothing will ever go wrong. I mean, Jesus got in a boat and a storm hit. It's not that things won't go wrong. It's what are we going to do when they do? What are we going to do when the storms hit? How are we going to react? What are we going to say? What are we going to do? How are we going to respond when those problems come into our lives? And if we choose to operate under the blessing, there's going to be certain ways that we will respond to certain situations. There'll be certain things that we say that people that are operating under the curse won't say. They won't even know what they're saying in regard to operating under that curse. Now, I'm going to give you just five things here that I asked the Lord to show me how to operate and activate the blessing. How do you operate and activate in the blessing? Number one is, listen, only speak good things over you and your loved ones.
Oh, that's good.
Only speak good things. Only speak life over you and your family. You think, well, I do speak life. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever said this? Well, you know, I just walk by chocolate and I get fat.
Oh, no.
You ever said that? You know, you're operating under the curse when you say that, because that's not true. That's a lie. You don't walk by poison ivy and catch it. You can't walk by poison ivy from here over to yonder and catch it. See, we laugh at stuff like that. Did you ever hear anybody say, I used to say this years ago, well, you know, there come a person with a brand new car. I wish I had that and he had a feather, we'd both be tickled. Did you ever say that? Do you realize that that root of that is covetousness? The root of that is operating under covetousness. That's coming out of a covetous heart. I don't want what he's got. I want what God's got for me.
Amen.
You see, we can operate under that curse and not even be aware of it. We get so caught up in the world system, we can begin to say things. I caught myself at my dad's the other day. I was at my dad's and I was going to, how was I going to say that? Another year older and deeper in debt. Boy, and I didn't say it. The Spirit of God quickened me. And I said, boy, another year older and we're more blessed. You see what I'm saying? Can you see how we can fall into that trap of saying things that really aren't true? We say them to get a little laugh from people. But you know, every time we say that, the Word of God says that we are judged by our words. Every idle word in the day of judgment we shall give an account for. I'm dying to go. Oh, you are. How about this one? That just blows my mind. And then you get up to be about 60, 70 years old after saying that for 30 years, and an artery blows out in your brain, and you wonder, why? Why did that happen to me? My back is killing me. See, we say those things and we're speaking death out of our mouth. And Jesus said, turn over, I'm not making this up, turn over to Matthew's gospel, chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, I'm talking about activating the blessing in your life. How do you hinder it? How do you cause it to be blessed? We want to live in the blessing in 2012. Can you say amen?
Amen.
A year of favor and glory. Everybody say, this is the master. This is Jesus talking. Now, this is not Paul talking. This is not a Pharisee talking. This is our master speaking. Jesus, our master. This is what he said. Verse Matthew 12:34. He said, O generations of vipers, how can ye believe evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The day of judgment is not just when we die and go to heaven. The day of judgment may be when you are filled your life with saying, I am dying to go, and when you go, you die. You fill your life for 20, 30, 50 years saying, I'm dying to go. I'm just dying to go. I'm just dying to go. And then when you go on that trip, you die. That's the day of judgment. You see what I'm saying? That's when the day of judgment comes. Proverbs 18 says it this way, 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you saying out of your mouth? You know, years ago at the fire department, I worked at the fire department for 12 years, and I think firemen are notorious for this myself, but you know, you have to understand, the fire department is kind of like the good mixture of a frat house and being in the Army. It's kind of like a good mixture of both of them, you know, being in the Army and the frat house. I mean, I've never been in the Army, but I've seen enough about it to know, you know, there's rules and regulations, but like a frat house, sometimes it gets kind of wild. But anyway, people would come into the fire department and visit, you know, just certain people would come at certain times. I don't know, some guys maybe wouldn't have anything to do, and they just drop by the fire department. Well, somebody would come, maybe they'd come once, and we'd get a call. About right when they walked in the door, the phone would ring, you know, got a car fire. And then maybe 3 weeks later, they'd come and we get another call. Well, every time that person comes, the fire phone rings. It, you know, that wasn't true because they'd come 50 times and it wouldn't. Can you see how we get into those? Every time that person comes, the fire phone. Every time they come, we have a house fire. See, we get into those ruts. We get into those talking that stuff, and every idle word we give an account for in the day of judgment. Amen. Amen. Well, every time I do that, you no. Every time I do that, you do this. Every time I do that, you know. Listen, every time comes out of your mouth, you want to put a guard up. You want to think, what am I saying here? Because is it that way every time? Is that the way you want it to be every time? Well, every time I say that to her, she does this. Is that the way you want it to be? Every idle word, death and life come out of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The master said that. I didn't say it. Paul didn't say it. Jesus said, every idle word that every man shall speak, he shall give an account for in the day of judgment. You feel a pain in your body? Oh, I'm blessed in Jesus' name. I call it healed. Hallelujah. I call myself blessed and prosperous in Jesus' name. You think, well, that's crazy. That's telling a lie. Let me ask you a question. When you got born again, what did you do? The Bible says, with your heart you believe unto salvation, and with the mouth, yes, confession is made. Yes. With the heart you believe unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you got born again, the way you got born again is believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. Listen, if that was good enough, if that principle was good enough to get you into the kingdom of God, don't kid yourself, that principle is operating all the time. You want to activate the blessing? Watch what comes out of your mouth. How about this one? Well, you just never know. When we're praying for you all the time that your eyes would be enlightened with spiritual wisdom and revelation knowledge that you would know. Yes. People died so you would know. Jesus gave his blood so you would know. How dare us to go around saying, well, you just never know. It sounds so noble. It sounds so humble. Well, you just never know. Just never know. You just never know what God's going to do. Well, I mean, he's either a liar or he's not.
That's right.
He's either telling the truth in his book or he's not. No, I think the problem is, if you go around saying you just never know, the problem is you don't know the book. I'm talking to you now. We don't know the book when we say that. We don't know what he promised. We don't know what he said. Or we let the world pervert that to take away from what God's intent is. God is not willing that any should perish. Eternally, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, hey, eternal life is here, Timothy. Lay hold on it. Like I said earlier, Brother Hagin had this statement, and I love this statement. He said, life is not going to fall on you like cherries off of a tree. There's going to have to be something we do to activate faith. And folks, there is an attack against faith. That we have to not only stand against that attack, but learn to activate faith in the process. It's like Nehemiah building the wall. Nehemiah had to build the wall. He had to hold his sword in one hand and his word in the other. We'll have to do that to activate the blessing of God in our life. Number one is only speak good things over you and your family. Number two, seek God's kingdom first. If we want to activate the blessing in 2012, put the kingdom first. You know, I looked up the word seek. You know, seek just means to go about, desire, and strive after. Strive after the kingdom of God like we would money. Strive after the kingdom of God like we would health. Strive after the kingdom of God like we would friendships. Strive after the kingdom of God like we would work or employment. Strive after it. Go after the kingdom of God. See, if we want to activate the blessing in 2012, there's not going to be any lame excuses about not coming to church. There won't be lame excuses. I mean, every so often anybody's going to have to miss. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're not going to have lame excuses about it. Well, you know, my dog had a scratch and I had to itch it. So I couldn't come to church. You know, No. We're not going to look for ways not to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to look for ways to be in the house of the Lord. Say amen to that. I looked at the word first. It means the head, the highest, the chief. Go after, strive after, be about. First, the head, the chief. Strive after the kingdom of God first in your life. We want to activate the blessing? Strive after the kingdom of God. Follow after righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Number three, see God's ways of doing things as the only way to live. Amen. I tell you what, listen. If I found out today that God didn't exist, and I mean it was beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was no God, I'd still live this way because His principles work. The principles work. God's principles work. What do you mean? I'm talking about, here's a thought, forgiveness. See, forgiveness works. Letting people go, releasing pain, releasing hurt, releasing strife from your heart, it works. Not caring about what other people think. Listen, not focusing in on the opinions of men, it works. Following God and His plan for your life, it works. Following what His purposes are, it works. Listen, giving works. Amen. If you want something in your life that will cause grace to abound in your life, I'm not talking about just grace to get. I'm talking about grace to live. I'm talking about you can give and be in a place where it don't even look like you have life to live, but you can still give your way and let grace become active in your life. I remember one time Beth and I, you know, with three little children, no food, no way to make nothing happen. And, you know, you think, okay, Beth's got to go to the grocery store. So what do? You know, we've got to have food. We've got three little babies running around. Do you go ask your relatives for money? Do you do this? Do you do that? Sitting around wondering, thinking, okay, what do? We got to decide something here pretty quick. Somebody pulls up in the driveway with a carload of groceries just here. We thought about you all today. Giving opens up your heart for grace no matter what. Listen to this statement. What you do not have the grace to give, you do not have the grace to receive. Amen. You know, we had this fellow come to church here, and I love this man, and I mean, he was such a blessing to this congregation. But all during his children's years as being children, he served in children's church and youth. But he told me, he said, God laid it on my heart to sow seeds toward my own children. To sow seeds toward my own children's lives by sowing into other children. You know, I'd encourage you, if you don't get a chance today, they've completed the children's church room upstairs. Go up there and look at it. I tell you, it's such a blessing. We still got a few of the bling bling stuff we need to put up, you know, the television, the sound system, a few things like that. But just go up there and look at it sometime. Some of y'all have been coming here for years. I've never been upstairs. Go up there and look at that and then let them know how much you appreciate the work they've done up there to make that children's church room what it is. We are blessed, folks, to have people right now. There are people right now. I want to remind you, we have a tendency to forget it. I want to remind you, there's probably 8-10 people right now working in the backgrounds back there with children. Serving the children, sowing seeds into those children. Statistically, listen, if you don't get someone born again by the time they're 18, I think the chances drop for like 70% that they'll never be born again. Now, you think about the importance of children's ministry. Wow. You think about putting the kingdom of God first in regard to children's ministry. I mean, we got it covered, but listen, if God's stirring your heart, you should be on the list. You should be involved in helping and sowing the Word of God into those children's ministries. Say amen. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His ways of doing things, and all these things will be added to you. His ways of doing things, listen, love. There's a New Testament commandment. It's not a choice, it's a commandment to love. If there is anybody in your life today that you could not sit down with and fellowship with, you need to get it straightened out so you could. There should be no person in your life that there's a bitterness about, a hate about, a hardness about, that you can't function and love them and be with them. If you can't do that, you need to get it straightened out today. Amen. I'm talking about activating the blessing. You want to hinder the grace of God from operating in your life? Let bitterness rule in your heart. Be bitter towards someone. If you're bitter and you know it, get it straight today. You know, I'm not talking about going camping with them. You know, Joyce Meyer, I love her. She always said, you know, her father molested her. A lot of people don't know this. Her father molested her. And I think I heard her say one time, he raped her around 200 times. But you know, when he was dying, she went to the hospital to get him born again. I don't know the story. I don't know if he ever accepted the Lord. But see, her biggest fear about forgiving him was that she would have to camp with him. She would have to just stay close to him. But you know what? That's not true. You can forgive somebody and release that to the Lord and still not have to hang with them all the time. You just don't want a root of bitterness in your heart about them all the time. You don't want that root of bitterness working in your life, because I'm telling you something right now. Hebrews tells us that root of bitterness causes many to fail the grace of God. We don't want to fail God's grace. That doesn't mean, listen, you can hold bitterness in your heart and die and go to heaven tomorrow. It doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. It just means you can't have heaven on earth. You can't get the kingdom of God activated working in your life if there's a root of bitterness working in your heart. Amen. I'll tell you, there are families that I have seen the curse just run through them like a snake because of bitterness, because they were bitter towards someone. Because they wouldn't release someone. They wouldn't forgive someone. They wouldn't let it go. Because they were afraid if they let it go, they wouldn't make them pay. Listen, you're not making them pay. You're paying for their mistake. You're paying for it by carrying that bitterness. Learn to walk in the New Testament commandment of love and let it go. Let release forgiveness into the hearts. Release forgiveness from your heart. That was number three, seeing God's way of doing things. And I would encourage you to write these down. Number one, only speak good things over you and your family. Seek God's kingdom first. See God's way of doing things as the only way to live. And the Lord just quickened my heart here. I wouldn't plan on saying this, but the Lord just rose up in my heart and spoke this to me and said, watch in your heart about whether or not you're offended toward God. There's a lot of people that have bitterness in their heart toward God. I remember one man came to church here one time. He was sitting on the front row, and after the service, he came up to me and he said, you know, Pastor Ron, I'm so thankful for your message tonight. He said, I had had bitterness toward God in my heart for about 10 years now. A family member of his had died, and he was bitter at God because of that. He thought God took him. You know, God don't take your loved ones. They go to him, but he's not just popping whoever he chooses at a certain time. The scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. It didn't say that everybody had an appointment with death. If that was so, listen, the word would be untrue because Hebrews 6:1 says, honor your mother and father that it may be well with you and that you would live long on the earth. There's a choice there that we have to make in regard to how we live life. There's some things that we can do to prolong life. There's some things that we can do to curse life and hinder life. And you have to understand, when you're looking at something from the outside, you don't know all the time what's going on in a person's heart in regard to life. I remember one situation, we were believing God and saw a woman completely and totally healed of breast cancer. Completely healed, totally healed of breast cancer. Within about 3 months of that, she had gotten into a lawsuit with her brother, sued her brother over some money, got back into strife and bitterness, and I tell you, she didn't live no time after that. Completely healed of it. But greed, fighting over stuff, getting in strife, hindering, being offensive. Listen, being offended at God's way of doing things. You know, sometimes God will say, don't you get into no lawsuit with him. You let that go. Give it up. Sow it. Give it. Let it be something that you give. You guard your heart. You keep love in your heart. You keep the love of God in your heart toward them. Say amen to that. Number four, watch for the five traps of Satan mentioned in Mark 4:14-20. Number, his five traps are hardness of heart, offense, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. You want to activate the blessing? Guard your heart against hard-heartedness, being offended at anyone, the cares of this world. In other words, where you just sit around and watch Fox News and CNN and all the stuff going on, you get so bound up, you think, my God, I can't give anything to anybody because the government's going to take everything I've got. Let me tell you something. If they take everything you got, God will get you more. Amen. That's the attitude we need to have. We don't need to let the cares of this world entering in choke the word of God. If we want to activate the blessing, let's put the cares on the Lord where they belong. It doesn't mean we can't be proactive about life. We ought to be the most proactive people in regard to voting, praying, changing things that need to be changed, running for office if necessary. I said running for office if necessary. I said running for office if necessary. God's trying to get that over to somebody in this room. He probably wants you to run for office. Amen. We should be the most proactive people in the world, but we are the people that can be proactive and not carry the cares of this life to the point that it chokes the word of God down in our hearts. Say amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. The five traps of Satan. Hard-heartedness. Well, I just don't care what happens to them. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Don't harden your heart. You may care and not know what to do. That's a better approach. Say, Lord, I care about them. I just don't know what to do about it. That's better than saying, I just don't care. Because in that, what we're doing is trying to protect our emotions, hardening our wall, putting a wall up to protect ourselves. Say amen, somebody. God wants us to have an open heart toward him, not be hard-hearted, offensive. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, are the lust of other things entering in, choking the word. See, do we want to activate the blessing? Let's watch about those traps of the devil. Those are direct traps of the devil that keeps us and hinders us from activating the blessing of God. Christ, listen, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham, listen, might come upon us. That word there, redeemed, you know what it means? It means to purchase to the point that there is a dividing line between you and that curse. Glory to God. A dividing line between you and that curse. That there's like the children of Israel in the land of Goshen. You remember the curses came on Egypt. Flies, blood-sucking flies came to Egypt and sucked the blood out of their life. Their cattle died. The blood, the water turned to blood. But you know what? In the land of Goshen, listen, the land of Goshen was right there in the middle of Egypt. No flies, no cattle dying, no darkness. It was light. In the middle of curse, they were blessed. And that's exactly what God wants for our lives. We want to experience redemption. What have you been redeemed from? Well, we've definitely been redeemed from eternal death. But when you talk about the Zoe life of God, you're talking about the abundant life of God. You're talking about, listen, Jesus said this, if a man does not have eternal life, he will not see heaven. You're not going to get eternal life when you die and go to heaven. If you don't have eternal life, you're not going to heaven. Eternal life is activated in us when we receive the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. When we receive the Holy Spirit into our life and we say, Jesus, I declare that you are my Lord and my Savior. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. And the Bible says it quickens or brings life to our mortal bodies. The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead is on the inside of you. The Bible says, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Stir up the Spirit of God. When the curse comes, stir up the Spirit of God. Don't lay down and say, come on, curse. No, we want to resist the curse. We want to resist the devil in darkness. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't let the devil rob your mind of that, no matter what happens in your life. I'm telling you, if the curse comes and camps at your door, don't embrace it. Don't say, yeah, it's here. No, say the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. I'm going to lay hold on life. No matter what it looks like from the outside. You can either be pitiful or powerful. You can want people to pity you, and you can find enough of that everywhere. Or you can do something with your life and rise above the curse that's on this earth. You can rise above the curse of the law. You can rise above and embrace the blessing and say, Lord, there's got to be some things that I'm not doing here. There's got to be something that I am not activating. I'm not walking in faith because your word says without faith it's impossible to please you. The word of God says by faith, listen, we have access into the grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 2. We have so lauded and been so excited about grace, looking at the bridge. Grace is the bridge, but listen, faith is the highway. You can stand there and look at the bridge and say, well, you know, this is either grace or this is law, or this pillar is grace and that pillar is law. You're trying to put me under law. No, you can stand there and analyze the bridge till the cows come home. But listen, take the highway of faith and cross the bridge. Get access into the grace. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants us to believe Him for His goodness. Believe Him that He is a good God. Believe Him that He's on our side. Believe Him that He's not creating the problems, the strife, the turmoil that's in this world. Believe Him that He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Believe Him that He's on our side. Believe Him that, like He said in His word, if He gave us Jesus, He will with Him freely give us all things. Believe Him when He says, I am for you and not against you. Believe Him when He says, I'm looking out for you. I will not, I will not, I will not forsake you. I mean, if He's on our side, He's on our side. Amen. And everywhere Jesus went, I tell you, you cannot find it in the book. Everywhere Jesus went, the dead were raised. The blind saw. The lame walked. They got money out of a fish's mouth to pay their taxes. Everywhere He went, life, life, life was flowing out of Him. Amen. Amen. God's not bringing the curse. He came to redeem us. He came to purchase us back.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. He's waiting on us to get in agreement with Him. He's not, listen, God is not going to agree with the curse. There's too much life in Him. God doesn't have the flu. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have sickness and disease. And He's, listen, He's not using the devil to whip His children.
Amen.
Amen. Everywhere Jesus, when He cast the devil out, He didn't say, hey, devil, come here and help me out with this. I need your help. They need to get straightened out here, devil. Let's straighten them out. No. Everywhere Jesus, when He said, you get out of them. You leave them alone. You remember the madman of Gadara? The demons were there, called Legion. They said, Lord, what are you doing with us? You come here to torment us before our time? There's a time coming. Every time the devil brings up something to you, just say, there's a time coming, oh boy. There's a time coming. You're going to be cast into a pit and a lid put on you, partner. Amen. And those demons said, Lord, let us stay. And he said, no, you come out of that man. They said, well, there's a bunch of swine over here feeding. Won't you let us go into them? He said, go. And a legion of demons left that man and went into that swine. And what's so amazing, if you've ever been around hogs very much, you get a hog in water, they can't, I'm telling you, I've seen them float in water, just they get out in water and it's like they float. But you know the Bible says a herd of 2,000 swine drowned. Can you imagine that? That shows you what them devils, I tell you, the devil, listen, the Bible says the devil seeking rest, finding none, going through dry places, he's wanting to come back into the house that God garnished and cleaned up. But you know whose responsibility is to keep the devil and all his stuff off of our lives? Let me tell you something. It's going to be what we activate in regard to faith in our lives. You think, well, Pastor Ron, I know this person that activated faith and they died. I do too. But you know what? It doesn't change a thing. I know a lot of people that didn't receive salvation and went to hell when Jesus paid the price for them too. But his salvation was just as real. The new birth was just as real. And what we want to do, listen, number five, if you're writing down notes, number five, if you want to activate the blessing, take as many people with you as possible. Amen. You get as many people involved in the blessing, you tell them about it, you bless them, you pray for them. And I'm not saying that everybody receives, and I'm not saying that you're never going to have any problems. That's not the truth. I'm just saying, what are you going to do when you have them? You going to lay down? You going to give up? Say, God turned His back on me. I'm as poor as Job's turkey. You know, listen. Job's turkey wasn't poor in the end. After 9 months, Job was blessed again. Amen. So if we're going to talk about Job, let's talk about the blessing at the end. After 9 months. 9 months. That's all. 9 months. God told Satan, Satan went up and said, hey, Job will curse you to his face if you turn your back on him. And God told Satan, he said, hey, he's in your power already because he's offering sacrifices in fear. He wasn't in faith. Satan went down. Did you notice the words of Satan? He will curse you. He will curse you. Job's wife got all upset and said, curse, won't you just curse God and die? See, listen, hear the language. I'm trying to get you to see something here. Notice that God was the author of blessing. Satan was trying to get Job and his wife to curse God. Can you see it? You need to think about that. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. One of the things we're going to guard our hearts about is curse. We don't want to curse God. Don't curse God. God is not the author of confusion, but the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. God is not the author of the curse. The curse was Adam's faith perverted when Adam bowed his knee and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, listen, Adam did exactly what a lot of people are doing today. They are deciding themselves what is good and evil rather than looking to the book and saying what God says is good and evil. Amen. That's a curse to God. You know, when you don't give, listen, I'm trying to close here. When we don't give, what we're saying in regard to our giving, we're cursing God because we're saying, God, I don't trust you.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not adequate enough.
Yeah.
You can't take care of me, so I'm going to hold on to what I have because that's all I've got.
Amen.
See, we don't want to be a group of people that are cursing God. Say amen.
Amen.
We don't want to be a group of people that are pronouncing a curse on our lives, on God, or anybody. We want to be a group of people that, listen, don't curse the darkness. You heard it said this way. We don't want to curse the darkness. We want to light a candle.
Right.
In other words, don't come in a room if it's dark, start cursing at the darkness. Flip the light switch.
Absolutely.
Amen. Flip the light switch on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. This year, we are going to believe God. The scripture says that joy and peace come, in Romans 15:13, joy and peace come through believing. We're going to be people of believing God. In the spite of circumstances that may be contrary to it, we are going to believe the Lord. Let me go through these one more time. We'll close. Only speak good things over you and your loved ones. Seek the kingdom first. See God's way of doing things as the only way to live. Watch for the five traps that Satan sets for you of hardness of heart, offensiveness, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, and then give your blessing to as many people as possible. Give your blessing away. How do you do that? You know what? It can be giving people money, but you know what? Sometimes it's just giving people a hug. Sometimes it's giving them kindness. Sometimes it's, if they're not feeling well, laying your hands on them and praying for them. Amen. I tell you, I think this year holds something special for us. Favor and glory. It's been rough. 2011 was rough. But thank God it's done.
Amen.
98 was rough. 98 was a rough year. I'm telling you, I wish 98 had never come. But it came and it's gone. You know what? But 99 got better. And that got a lot better. 2000 got a lot better. You know what I'm saying? Listen, 2012 is a year of favor and glory.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say it out loud. Favor and glory. Are mine in 2012. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. I don't.